FM. Brother C, will you open us up in prayer on the call tonight?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Father God, we thank you again, O Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be able to make it through another day, Lord. You protected us, Lord, and you've blessed us, Lord, to this point. We want to say thank you, ask you to forgive us of our sins and strengthen us, Lord, and all of our weaknesses, Lord. And we just want to pray, Lord, for the marriage message tonight, Lord, that we all receive something that can help us, Lord, be a better husband, better wife, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for Brother Ryan, Lord, Brian, that he continue, Lord, to just teach and lead this group that we have tonight, Lord. Lord, we love you. We say hallelujah to your name. We just thank you. Ask you to bless Tabernacle in a special way. Our pastor, continue to bless each member. And Lord, we just want to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's see. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at chapter 4 in our book. And we're going to be turning over to page 64 in the book. I'm going to be starting off on page 64. But I guess before we do that, let me go over my announcements. I always do each week. All right, and so my name is Brian Ray, and I host a call every week. And if you ever need to get in contact with me, you can reach me on my cell phone, and that number is 678-245-4336. That's 678-245-4336. And each week I send out a text message as a reminder about the call. And if you'd like to get on our reminder list, all you got to do is send me a text to that cell phone number I just gave and just put your name and number there and just put a note saying you would like to be added to our reminder list, and I'll be glad to do that. And also, if you ever miss a call, you can always go to our website and listen to a recording of the call. And the website that you can go to is www.gototabnow.com. So that's www.gototabnow.com. So always go there and you can listen to a recording. And the book that we've been using for this Bible study is called Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness. So again, it's Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness. And the author of the book is H. Norman Wright. And we use the September 24, 2012 edition, because when you go into the store to buy it, there'll be different editions sometimes because it's a pretty popular book. But we use the September 24th, 2012 edition. All right, so those are announcements. So let's start looking at our topic. So we're in chapter 4, and we should finish up chapter 4 tonight. And chapter 4, the title to chapter 4 was The Key to Intimacy. The Key to Intimacy. So as I said, if you have your book, turn over to page 64. Because that's where we're going to pick up tonight, on page 64. And I want to start off on page 64 reading this scripture that he had on page 64. If you look on, look up there, let's see, get on page 64. Down there at the bottom, we're going to be talking about the first topic we're going to be looking at is talking about avoid quarreling. And he starts off by quoting from James. And I thought this was a pretty good quote. And this is from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. So listen how James reads in this particular translation. It says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you? You want what you don't have, so you kill to get it. You long for what others have and can't afford it, so you start a fight to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." And that's James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And I just thought that I just really liked that quote. And the part that that kind of really, I mean, just kind of jumped out at me is where it says, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? And here's the part. It said, isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you? So it says a whole army of evil desires within you. I don't know about you all, but do you ever feel, do you ever say, yeah, that's definitely true? You know, as you're going through your life, going through your day, can you just say, well, you know, some days it's like, man, just seems like, you know, I just got all the wrong motivations today. And just got all the wrong, you know, things are just not going the way I want it to. And I just seem to have the wrong, just a real bad attitude today. And I kind of just thought how, you know, that's a pretty good description of how we can be on some days. You know, we just got a whole army of evil desires within us, and they just start popping out. Let me just stop there for a second. Anything anybody want to say there on that part from just that quote from James? Okay, and then he went on to say, he says, does the scripture mean that couples aren't going to have conflict? He says, not at all. He says, two unique and different individuals cannot come together without adjustment and conflict. The individual tastes, preferences, habits, likes and dislikes, personality differences, values and standards will confront each other. You know, and as I read that, I thought that's how so true that is. You know, how, you know, you can't help but have, you know, and the word he used here was what? Conflict. You can't help but have some conflicts because you're two totally different people. You know, you look at things totally different. He says two unique and different individuals cannot come together without arguments and conflict. Because then it says your individual tastes are different. You know, what you like and how you like it. Your preferences are different. Your habits are different. Your likes and dislikes. Your personalities are different. You know, your values and your standards, you know, all those things can be different to a certain degree. And so because they're all different, you're in this marriage relationship, the closest of all human relationships, and you're different. And so because of that, there's just going to be some conflicts there, because you just can't have all those differences without some conflict. Anybody have any thoughts on that right there? All right, I tell you, y'all going to be a quiet group tonight. All right, but anyway, you know, and I was thinking about that earlier. I was talking to somebody, and I was thinking about how, like, with me and Sabrina, you know, we're totally different individuals, the way we view things and the way we do things. And what I was thinking about in particular is, like, you know, like with baseball, you know, she's a big baseball fan. You know, she loves watching baseball and going to baseball games. And I'm not a baseball fan at all. When I was growing up, when I was younger, I watched baseball. I mean, not watched it, but I used to play it when I was little. But I've never been a fan of watching it. And so, and it doesn't really cause a problem for us, but I could see where, like, maybe early on, that could have really been a problem. Because, you know, I come in the house, and she might be watching a baseball game. And, you know, say, like, back in the early days of our marriage, we only had one TV. And so I come in the house, she's watching baseball, and maybe I want to watch something else on TV. You know, and there, now you got a conflict going. You know, because we have different tastes. She wants to watch baseball on TV, and maybe I want to watch Star Trek. You know, so how are you going to work that out? You know, and so it just comes up because you're different individuals. But then listen to what he says here, because I think this is important. He says, but remember, conflict is not the same as quarreling. conflict is not the same as quarreling. And so he's talking about how, you know, because we're different individuals, we're going to have conflicts. But just because you have conflicts, that doesn't mean you have to have quarreling. He says disagreeing is not the same as quarreling. So disagreeing is not the same as quarreling. So like in Sabrina and I's case, you know, I would much rather watch an episode of Star Trek on TV than a baseball game. And so, you know, so we differ on that. But just because we disagree on what we think on the shit, what we ought to be watching on the TV, doesn't mean that it has to be a quarrel. You know, because in every relationship you're going to have disagreements. But just because you have those disagreements, they don't have to develop into quarrels. Anybody want to add anything right there?
Yeah, I do. It's Steve. Okay. Yeah, I think that in some cases, though, that can be a positive thing, that being different, you know, having different ideas on things and different, you know, attitudes about different things, because you may come up with a situation where one idea may be better than another. So, you like I say, the Bible says two are better than one, you know,
right.
So we can look at it as a positive on that end.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a part of what he's trying to get you to see is that just because you're different, or you have different tastes, that doesn't necessarily mean something bad.
Right.
You know, but you're just different. That's all it means. It says, then he goes on to say, says, verbal conflict in itself is not harmful. It can open doors to communication. I think that's the exact thought that you were trying to make, Steve. Verbal conflict in itself is not harmful because it can open up doors of communication. It says, on the other hand, a quarrel is defined as verbal strife, in which the emotions have taken over and the focus is open and the focus is more on the other person than on resolving the problem.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so a quarrel is defined as a verbal strife in which the emotions have taken over and the focus is more on the other person than on resolving the problem.
I think that in the quarrel, you know, it's more so that I'm right and you're wrong.
Right,
you know?
Okay. And not trying to understand how you're different and why you're different and how those differences
right.
play out.
Right, it's just that I'm single-minded, you know, that I'm right and you're wrong, and that's the way it's going to be. And then the other one, you know, that's where your argument, quarreling comes in.
Mm-hmm. And he went on to say, he says, when the quarrel is over, there's usually a greater distance between the couple or a residual bad feeling. When the quarrel is over, there's usually a greater distance between the couple or a residual bad feeling because of the nature of what a quarrel is. You know, you can be different and, you know, one like Star Trek and one like baseball. But just because that's true, that, you know, that shouldn't lead to a quarrel. You know, it leads to, you know, some discussion, you know, but it shouldn't lead to a quarrel.
Right.
It says specific about what to do with quarrels. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. People without good sense find fault with their neighbors, but those with understanding, keep quiet. That's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. And listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Starting a quarrel is like a leak in a dam. So stop it before a fight breaks out. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 says, foolish people are always fighting. But avoiding quarrels will bring you honor. And Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21 says, just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite proverbs right there, because I know a lot of times you're talking to people and you see a quarrel or argument getting going, And, you know, and what I've learned, I can't say I do it perfectly, but one thing I've learned is if you just shut up and quit talking, a lot of time that quarrel will just die away. I mean, it'll just disappear because that's what this verse is saying. You know, that fire is going to go out if you don't add charcoal or wood to it, right?
That's right.
It's just going to go right out. And so if you just quit talking, then you're not adding charcoal or fire to that argument or that quarrelsomeness at the moment. So if you just be quiet, that argument will just go away because it's hard for a person to argue by themselves.
That's true.
Right.
That's very true. This is clear. Because, the charcoal would be like you're feeding the fire, you know?
Right.
The charcoal is like dying out or whatever. You just keep quiet.
Right.
One person can't argue with himself, can't be a quarrel, you know? You have
right.
to have somebody else to argue with. And, like the scripture says, if you're sensible, you will just basically keep quiet. And
yeah.
Maybe later on they will realize that what was bothering them, it's not really that important, but it's good to voice your opinion.
Right.
If you don't feel right about a certain thing, you really should let your partner know about
it. Right.
But in a good way, you know.
Right.
And try to avoid the quarrel, because I've experienced a lot of that over the years, too. So.
And then listen to this next one. This is from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Mm.
If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then the last one he quoted was from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And that one says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So make every effort to live at peace. Sometimes it's hard to do, but as I said, make every effort that you can to do so. Make every effort that you can to not quarrel. All right. Any comments for that before we continue on with this next little part, what he talks about with quarreling? Or, well, not quarreling, but then he's going to go on to criticizing next. And so next on page 66, he starts talking about criticizing. And listen to what he says about criticizing. He says, criticism is a special communication that cuts and destroys. Its purpose is not to resolve conflict or draw a spouse closer. It's a way to feel justified and superior. It's a way to release anger. He says, every time you criticize, you find fault. You're saying to the other person, you're defective in some way, and I don't accept you. Criticism does have an effect on the other person. He or she will turn you off, counterattack, or become resentful. He says, criticism is a no-brainer. It doesn't work. It's ineffective. God's word is clear on the issue. And I'm going to just pause right there before I read some scripture. And just kind of take that in, what he says about criticism. And then he went on to say, then he quoted from Romans chapter 14, verse 13. And it says, then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or obstacle or hindrance in the way of a brother. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 4 says, Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You know, and so Jesus was telling us there in the book of Matthew, you know, don't go around criticizing somebody when you got the same problem yourself. You need to deal with your own issues before you try to straighten it out. You know, all they got is a little piece of sawdust in their eye, and you got a big old plank in yours. And you're trying to fix their problem, and their problem is much smaller than yours. But yet you're there trying to fix it. So basically, deal with yourself. Get yourself straight before you go around trying to get some other people straight. All right, anybody have anything you want to add there or anything you want to say? As he's talking about avoiding criticism or criticizing?
Well, one thing that I just think when I've learned from being married, a lot of time it's when you often choose to ask your spouse something, you know, like I said, communicating. A lot of times you pick the wrong times, you know, when people just get off work and they are tired and you might get an answer you don't want to hear. You know, you're hungry, you just, you know, you learn stuff through marriage, you know, well, let me let them get in and get situated, fed and chilled out before you start in. I think that will help keep the things down.
Right, okay, yeah, just choosing the right time when you do say something.
Mm-hmm.
Because as he was saying in that first part, you know, you do have legitimate concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not saying you don't deal with them. But as you say, you know, so really he's talking about how you're going to deal with those legitimate concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Then listen to this question. He says, how is a complaint different from criticizing? Because remember he talked about how they are legitimate complaints. But how is a complaint different from criticizing? Anybody want to offer anything there? How's a complaint different from criticizing? And he's using a complaint in the sense that a complaint is not a bad thing. The way he's using complaint here is that a complaint, you know, you got a legitimate issue that you need to talk about with that person.
I think that with a complaint, that you want to get the issue resolved. You're trying to let the other person know that, you know, I'm not happy with this, and, you know, what can we do to get it fixed? But with a criticize, it's kind of like, you know, a negative stab at a person about something they're doing, you know, and you ain't looking for no kind of resolution. You're looking to find justification, saying that I'm right, and, you know, what you're doing is wrong again.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything you want to add there? Okay, listen to what he said on page 67. He says, criticism is the initial negative response that opens a door for other destructive responses to follow. Criticism is an initial negative response that opens the door for other destructive responses to follow. Criticism is different from complaint because it attacks the person's personality and character, usually with blame. Sounds like exactly what you were saying, Steve, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're attacking the person rather than trying to solve the problem. And then he went on to say, here's another thing he said about criticism on page 68. He said, destructive criticism accuses, tries to make the other feel guilty, intimidate, and is often an outgrowth of personal resentment. This accuses, tries to make the other person feel guilty, intimidates, and is often an outgrowth of a personal resentment. So as Steve said, you know, you're not really trying to solve the problem. You know, there may be a legitimate issue there, but that criticism is really not trying to solve it. It's really good first. Now listen to what he said about a complaint. He says, complaints, however, can be voiced in a way that a spouse will hear them and not become defensive. For example, instead of focusing upon what annoys you, talk more about what you would appreciate your spouse doing. Your partner will be much more likely to hear you and consider your request. Talking about what you don't like just reinforces the possibility of its continuance and continuance with even greater intensity. So one thing he says here about dealing with complaints is, try it from a positive point of view. Try talking about what you like about your spouse rather than what you don't like, and see how. And if you go back and read the book, as he talks about that, he gives some pretty good examples on that. But let me pause there for a second. Anybody want to add anything there?
I think that is a true statement, finding positive things. One thing that Steve has done, I know I have cooked some meals that he didn't like. One thing that I have really appreciated, that he would just say, he just wouldn't eat it. He never would say, I don't like it. Maybe weeks down the road, he'll say, oh, well, you don't have to worry about fixing that for me anymore. But He didn't complain while I had it. He would eat it.
Right, okay.
He would wait weeks later, oh, well, you don't have to worry about fixing that.
Okay. All right, and we'll end with what he did. Oh, and we're not going to go into details with him, but if you look at the book starting on page 67, he talked about some different forms of criticizing, different ways we do that. He listed, four of them, four ways we criticize sometimes. And one he talked about was joking. And when he talked about how we use joking to criticize, the thing he said about that was how criticism can be hidden under the camouflage of humor. We're still taking those little digs, but we say it, we use humor to try to say it.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying, you need to be careful with that. Criticism is still that criticism, even though you're trying to say it in a humorous way. Are you doing criticizing? Are you still doing that, having that criticism? Are you still having that spirit of criticism, but just trying to do it in a humorous way? So joking. And then another one he said was fault finding, another form of criticism, fault finding. He says fault finding is a favorite response of the perfectionist spouse. He says it's interesting to hear those who criticize say that they're just trying to remold their partner into a better person by offering some constructive criticism. And I remember I found out early in our marriage that fault finding thing don't work too good. I remember I had the attitude and I don't know where I got it from. I guess it was just me. But I remember I had the attitude of, whenever Sabrina did something wrong, I was like, okay, I might as well go ahead and let her know now. Let me let her know everything that she does. let me go and let her know every time she does something wrong so we can go and get that out in the open now. And y'all can imagine that probably didn't go over too well. But I remember, I won't say I'm perfect about not doing it now, but I can just remember married. That was kind of how my thoughts were. Let me point everything out right now so we can get it all out in the open and we'll be done with it. But then another form of criticism that he talks about, he says zingers. And here's what he said about zingers. He says, you've heard of zingers, those lethal, verbally guided missiles. He says lethal, verbally guided missiles. We've got to be careful with those things, because they can really hurt. And the last one that he mentioned, he says, invalidating words. Invalidating words. He says, invalidation is like a slow, fatal disease that once established a relationship spreads and destroys the positive feeling. As one wife said, the so-called friend I married became my enemy with his unexpected attack. I felt demeaned, put down, and my self-esteem slowly crumbled. I guess that's why I fight escalated so much, I had to fight to survive. And talk about those invalidating words, those words that don't build up but tear down. So those are something. So like I say, go back and read the book, you know, because I just kind of mentioned them, where he goes into a little bit more details on each one of those forms of criticism. All right, well, is there anything anybody want to add before we end the call tonight? As he talks about this criticizing and fault finding.
I guess we have to pray about the criticism, because sometimes we do things and we say things that we really shouldn't say.
Right.
Like the last line in this invalidation says, to keep love in your marriage alive, keep the criticism out of it. So I
think
you have to be thinking hard about everything you say. If something doesn't please you, you really have to think twice before you say something. And say
right.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, because as it said, you know, as he was talking about, you know, sometimes we have those complaints. And as the way he's using complaints, the complaint is, you know, there's something legitimate you need to talk about. And that's one thing, but you got to, you know, when you do have that legitimate complaint, you know, you don't want to be a criticizer as you deal with that legitimate complaint. And then as he said, you know, sometimes the best way to deal with that complaint is to talk about the positive rather than the negative anyway. All right, well, that's going to do it for the call tonight. So next week, we're going to start in Chapter 5. So make sure you have your books, and make sure you read through Chapter 5 at least once. And, of course, we won't try to cover that whole chapter. But Chapter 5 talks about speak your spouse's language. Speak your spouse's language. And so next week, we're going to start with Chapter 5. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and end the call. Give everybody a chance to say good night, and then we'll see y'all again next week.
Good night.
Good night.